Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast, coming from Dallas, Texas and Sacramento, California. Here's Skylar Teo and David Stauffer.
Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast. Skylar Teo is here.
What up, what up, what up?
Oh, Skylar Teo. This week, it turns out, no great movies came out in the box office.
It was kind of one of those toilet first week of April's.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure is.
Dumpster fire.
Yeah. Represented by the fact that Batman vs. Superman had one of the most historic drops from first to second week box office numbers. I want to say it was like 70s, close to 80% drop from week one to week two, which for a blockbuster is nearly unheard of.
It's pretty bad.
So give it up for
If you compare that to Star Wars week one to week two, yeah. It's not great.
Not great. Not great.
Nah.
You know, Sixth Sense almost didn't drop from week one to week two?
I believe it went up.
Yeah. I think technically it went down 2%, but it almost like went up. It almost was like that never ever happens, right?
Well, it does happen sometimes, like my Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah, right. So by never ever happens, I mean rarely happens.
Okay, it went down 3%.
But speaking of Batman v Superman, I do think we need to clarify something. We posted an episode last week, coincidentally on April 1st, where we had the gracious Michael Perkins join us to defend his viewpoint on Batman v Superman. And
very kind of him to join us.
It was. However, we became flooded with, I personally became flooded with texts, emails, tweets, with people asking if that episode was indeed an April Fool's joke. For example, people asked, he can't be serious when he says Batman v Superman was better than the Avengers. Or he can't be serious when he says only time will tell if Batman v Superman is better than the Christopher Nolan Batman films. Like, people were fully convinced this was an April Fool's joke we were pulling on them.
Right. Juliet Littman sent me a text that just said, ... WTF, this has to be a joke, right?
Yeah.
This is the most offensive thing I've heard, and you guys have said some horribly sexist things about me.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
No, I know. It's true. And Juliet Littman, the funny thing is it's amazing how quickly she forgave us. Because of how offensive Michael's opinion was.
Well, right. I mean, like, we said we're sorry on the show.
Yep.
And she texted both of us in our group text. And she said, apology accepted.
Yeah.
Winky face.
What I don't like about our group text with Juliet, though, is that it's become like a whole thread dedicated to The Bachelor. And talk about The Bachelor.
Yeah. And Chandler Parsons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like,
and her desire for Chandler Parsons to be the Bachelor and her to be the Bachelorette
right.
on that season.
Right.
And it's just her and him for 25 episodes.
Yeah.
There's no other women.
Yep.
And it's just her wooing him.
Yeah.
It's
essentially be like, who wants to marry a millionaire?
Right.
Yeah, so.
And she's been sending us like her beat-by-beat episode. Like, on week one, we're going to have our dinner and we're going to be having pork for the dinner, and it's gonna make Chandler a little gassy, so I'm gonna hold his hand while he's tooting later. And I'm just like, Juliet, we get it. And we keep saying we get it, and she's like, I don't think you get it. This is what I'm gonna do week two.
Yeah.
And then week two, they're gonna have tacos, and that's gonna make him a little gassy, and she's gonna hold up his hand while he like toots again. And like,
a lot
like,
of Juliet, tooting.
This is not good TV. Yeah. Like, we get that you're in love with Chandler, and that Chandler's falling in love with you while he toots. And while I'm not interested, you're not interested. I'm not sure America's interested yet.
No.
Like, she needs to wait on this. She needs to sit on this idea. So,
yeah.
I muted the conversation of like a week ago now. I think. Have you done that yet?
Oh no, I don't mute people. It's a personal personal policy. I refuse to mute any text conversations.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Like on like Bmort, but I just drop in there once every couple of days, and there's like 600 new messages from her, and it's just like. What are we going to eat week three? Does lasagna make Chandler gassy?
Yeah,
like, I'm just trying to find more foods to make him gassy.
Really,
like,
a weird fetish.
Is he lactose intolerant? Can I give him a milkshake? Can I give him some cheese? A queso dip? What's going to make this man gassy? And then how do I capitalize on that by holding his hand while he toots?
So we've considered bringing her on the pod, just kind of like bring in like a ringer, you know, like
She's been asking, like, do you guys need a ringer?
Yeah.
And she like, it's a winky
emoji. Yeah, exactly. Like, she wants us to acknowledge the pun and we won't acknowledge it. We just won't.
No.
Nope.
No. Well, I didn't get it like the first 20 times, I'm gonna be honest. Yeah. Like then she like sent the Ringer logo next to it.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, do you guys need a Ringer?
Just to really drive
logo.
Home.
And at first I was like, oh, that's a terrible logo. What is that? And then I looked it up and oh, that's the Ringer.
Yeah.
Oh. I think Juliet Littman wants to be on the show.
So I wanna bring on Tate Frazier and have and just like introduce him by like, hey, we just brought in a new guy, kinda just for this week I got a Ringer in here, Tate Frazier. Formerly of Grantland.
He was an intern at Grantland.
Yeah.
And Bill Simmons thought he was cute.
Yes,
so
he delivered a package to Bill Simmons' doorstep. Bill Simmons said, I like you. And
you probably went to UNC, huh? You're probably an athlete, huh?
Yeah.
Come work for me.
Yeah.
Come do a job that literally anyone could do. Right. Is there a more replaceable human being on this planet?
Oh man, dude! Now we're gonna get hate mail from Tate Frazier and his fans.
Well, our group message has been pretty hostile already with Tate. So.
Back to movie talk. I know I mentioned no good movies came out last week, and that's true. But I didn't realize.
And it's also not true.
Why?
Because we had Midnight Special.
Midnight Special didn't really come out
to select theaters, though. Yes. Select theaters.
Midnight Special comes out this weekend in Salt Lake City, and I will be seeing it. You saw it in Dallas last week.
I'm going to see it at the press screening, yeah.
What did you think? Just like high level, couple quick thoughts. Because when you told me you liked it, but it felt like a muted response. Like you didn't say the word great.
I liked it a lot. Okay. I think it'll be in contention for a top 10 of the year for sure. Like this is, you're getting very quality Michael Shannon.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting.
Which is redundant. But
great performances all around. Yeah, I mean, it's a great movie. It's not my number one of the year, but it's
better
right there.
Than Deadpool.
Incorrect. Oh Deadpool is still my favorite movie of the year.
All right, so you're still gonna run with Ryan Reynolds as a superhero? Okay. Oh.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, you can be cooler than Deadpool.
Is
but
this really
wrong.
Gonna be your Mad Max? Okay. All right. Okay.
This is absolutely my Mad Max. I will die on the hill defending Deadpool.
Oh my gosh. Okay. But yeah, I'm going to see Midnight Special this week. I'm really, really excited. I really, really love Jeff Nichols, the director of this film. I love Mud. I love Take Shelter. I'm really excited.
This is better than Mud.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, not to say it's not possible. I haven't seen the film, but Mud is in such a high level. I hold that film in such high regard.
You can hold it in high regard. This is better than Mud.
Wow. Okay. Well, now my expectations are through the roof. I can't wait to tell you how disappointed I am.
It takes chances that Mud didn't take, and I think it'll probably turn off some people, but every single chance he takes, I thought paid off
well,
in spades.
Look, the trailer just, I mean, everything I saw in the trailer looked like to me the type of film that I'm just going to eat up, so I'm pretty excited.
You know, you got Kirsten Dunst, you got Michael Shannon, you got
Adam
Joel
Driver.
Edgerton, you got Adam Driver.
Yeah.
Yes. Driver is pretty peak, too.
Is he?
It's good. It's a good driver performance. Dude is so ugly, but so likable.
But
you totally forget he's a Kylo Ren villain. Like, he's so likable in this.
Is he?
It's incredible. Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's the thing about Adam Driver, though.
His charisma showing.
Is that, like, finally there's another one of us in there, right? Like, I look at Adam Driver and I'm like, hey.
Speak for yourself.
You know what? Maybe we don't, you know. Maybe we're not such long shots in Hollywood, right? Like, the ugly guy. Because before, Steve Buscemi was that guy. It's kind of like gotten to the point where it's like he's gotten too good, you know?
Right.
And
if Steve Buscemi had died, like, 2 years ago, Hollywood would have been lost.
Yeah.
But now we have Adam Driver
now
to
we
take
have Adam
those
Driver.
Roles.
Exactly. The everyman.
So when we remake Fargo, we finally have somebody to play the Steve Buscemi role.
But who will play William H. Macy? That's... Oh,
ooh,
Shia will? LaBeouf.
No,
what am I
mean,
thinking? It's Shia LaBeouf. That's perfect.
I was going to say Shia LaBeouf's a pretty good answer, yeah.
No, but okay, speaking of expectations, I actually did see a film last weekend with low expectations because it's a film I didn't see a trailer for. I did see a synopsis. I saw the cast, and I went to go see it. And it's Eye in the Sky. I believe the European title of the film is... Jesse Pinkman is a drone pilot, and this...
No, that's the translated Chinese title.
Oh, that's what it was? Oh, okay, that's right. I think that's the Google Translate. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Mm-hmm. That's right.
They're calling it Alan Rickman's last movie
in
England.
Alan Rickman's last film. Helen Mirren, great. We've got
in France it's called Helen Mirren's boobies.
Bacad Abdi, the guy from Captain Phillips, who's like, look at me, I'm the captain now.
I'm the captain now.
He's
What'd
in
you
it.
Say his name was?
He's really good. It's Bacad Abdi. I'm pretty sure that's incorrect the way I'm saying it, but I'm trying. Look.
Is he going to get another Oscar nom for this performance?
Probably not. I don't know. Look, the movie came out in March or April. I'm not sure exactly when it went wide, but this is going to get forgotten. It absolutely should have some awards considerations in some regard. Like, I don't know. It wasn't like knock it out of the park Oscar type of. But I really, really, really like the film. And so if you end up seeing it, I actually do want to do a full review. I will be seeing it.
I'll be seeing it this weekend.
I was like pretty surprised. It definitely challenged kind of my stance on drone warfare and what I think is and is not acceptable collateral damage. So I really liked it. We'll go more detail at a later date. But it's good to see Jesse Pinkman back in with some skin in the game, you know? It's good.
I guess you haven't been watching BoJack Horseman?
No, I don't watch cartoons.
Skin has been full in.
I could maybe my son. I'll ask my toddler son if he watches BoJack and what he thinks of it, but I don't watch cartoons unless
probably
it's Pixar.
Probably does. Probably likes it. By the way, fun fact about
I don't have
Bacad Abdi, Mr. I am the captain now.
Yeah.
If you look at his IMDb page, his credits are he's known for Captain Phillips, the Oscars. This is second.
You're kidding.
The third is his Screen Actors Guild Award appearance in 2014.
You're kidding.
And then his fourth is the special features on the Captain Phillips DVD.
Oh, no. Dude.
I kid you not.
Does George Clooney have his award show credits on his IMDb? Because I want to see that.
I just think George Clooney might have more credits than that. But,
George Clooney is just like littered with award show credits.
I'm just gonna say it though. He's the Somali Jesse Eisenberg. He got an Oscar nomination for playing himself.
No, stop. No, he's good. He's good. When I looked into his eyes, I personally felt like he was the captain now. You know what I mean? Like I looked at it and it was like Tom Hanks was the captain. This dude is the captain now.
Okay. If you had one person to deliver their big line in their African accent, is it I am the captain now, or is it
tell the truth?
You tell the truth. If you had like, let's say that you go to hell, and Satan's like, you have to hear two things for the rest of eternity.
Okay, this is easy. I'm the captain now. I take it every single time.
Okay. See,
because that's actually his real accent and how he talks.
Because he's Jesse Eisenberg, and he's just being himself.
No, dude. You know. Speaking of Bacad Abdi, he would have been a better and more authentic Lex Luthor than Jesse Eisenberg.
His Lex Luthor would have been very interesting.
I saw the film again last night, Batman v Superman. My wife hadn't seen it. She wanted to see it, and so I went and saw it. And I was 20 minutes in, and I was like, make this end.
Is this your third viewing?
And it is my third viewing.
You paid three times?
Just like Michael Perkins, except I've hated it more and more. Like, it ended, and I felt sick to my stomach. Like, this is such a bad film. Like, how did people allow this to happen? It is so bad. What a joyless slog. Ugh. Anyway. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what's not a joyless slog? The Rogue One trailer. Debuting
coming
tomorrow. We got the trailer for the trailer today. We got this crazy looking black stormtrooper. I mean, like, not John Boyega type of black stormtrooper. I mean, like, stormtrooper.
Yeah, we get it. Okay. I am the captain now, John Boyega. Yeah.
What? No. No.
Wait, is that not him?
No, it's not. It's not John Boyega. No.
Bacad Abdi. Sorry.
Yeah, you're. No, yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. How much better is Force Awakens if it's Bacad Abdi the whole time?
Ooh, don't challenge me like that because I like what I'm hearing.
Because what if he gets on Millennium Falcon and he says, I am the captain now? Stop. Harrison Ford's like, what?
Like when,
he's like,
when,
oh, look at me.
When he's
look
trying,
at me. I am the captain now. He's shooting and Daisy Ridley's all like, shoot better. He's like, I am the captain now.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. She's like, are you going to shoot any TIE fighters? Movie. And he's like, screw that. Throws the headset off, climbs up, gets in the cockpit. He's like, I'm the captain now.
Actually, Harrison Ford would love him because he's kind of a space pirate. Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Dude, this is a whole other movie I want to see.
Oh, my gosh. That's such a better casting. Why didn't I think of that? Why didn't JJ think of that?
So many missed opportunities.
Oh my gosh, that would have been so good.
You know what else would have been a better movie? Les Mis. Substitute Russell Crowe's performance with Barkhad Abdi's. Oh. And so instead of singing the whole time, he's just going up to people and he says, I am the captain now. Because, you know, he's kind of got the captain hat, you know? And he's like, I'm the police captain now. And he's doing it in his best French accent. Like, dude, it's a good movie.
Have you ever seen Captain Ron?
No.
Oh, okay. Martin Short? No? Okay.
No.
Oh, wow. Oh, then never mind.
Okay. Captain America? I am the captain
oh,
now?
Oh, yeah. Or Hook?
Oh, yeah. He'd be a good Hook.
You'd be a good Hook.
Oh, man. Somebody get Robin Williams' agent on the phone. We're going to remake Hook. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
We've got Redditors listening to this. They're going to kill you for that.
Oh, no. Hey, I am defending, in this episode, Robin Williams' peak decade.
Oh?
And there's no argument.
Oh, I can't wait.
He won an Oscar in this decade. He made some of the best cartoons in this decade.
So let's get into it.
Dude killed it.
Let's get into it. So we talked about how there's no movie to reference, but we have a text thread with our friends Aaron Alvarado and B-Mort. And I was going through movies of the decade.
It's B-Mort's in the text thread in the sense that I am part of I'm trying to think of something.
B-Mort's in the text.
The Dallas Mavericks. Yeah. like I'm part of the Dallas Mavericks in the sense that like we're all one, right? But I'm also
B-Mort's in the text never thread really like Jonah Hill is in Hail Caesar.
oh, that's good. kind of midway chubby Jonah Hill. Yeah.
No. I just mean by the fact that he's barely in it. Okay, so I asked
I'm
in
not
the
talking
text
about thread. B-Mort's weight. I'm talking about the fact that in Hail Caesar, we get midway chubby.
I don't know what B-Mort's weight is. I have no idea.
He's in good shape.
He seems like to be a proportionate, normal-sized human being.
I'd say he's in good shape.
Yeah, I would assume he's in good shape.
I would guess he has abs.
I think he works out every day, actually. No?
I think he has abs.
Do you work out every day?
I ride my bike every day.
No, not the same. Okay.
No.
Do you have a fixie, huh? Tell me you have a fixie.
No.
You ride a fixie.
No, I have a 21 gear.
Oh, whoa.
Get out of here.
Did not expect that many gears. So, okay.
One for every person I've killed.
So I'm looking at movies of the decades, and I'm thinking, is there a decade that just for whatever reason, like the gods of cinema came down and just designated a decade like this is going to be a decade full of just amazing cinema, right? And so I'm wondering if that is. I'm looking through, and I come across the 1970s, and I'm looking through this list, and I'm like, oh, this is the greatest decade of filmmaking ever. Not just from like the critical standpoint of like, oh, the achievement in film, but also of movies that I truly love, that I think are truly great. And I'm looking at it thinking, there's no way there's a decade that beats this. And so I text to the thread, what do you guys think is the greatest decade of filmmaking? It's got to be the 1970s, right? And the response I received from you was, no, it's the 1990s.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is an opinion that I disagree with. Now Aaron was really taken. He took the critical approach, saying the 50s.
Oh yes.
Like
this is when modern film, the rubric was created.
Look,
that all other films would be judged on.
There's an element here of like there is an element.
I am the captain now.
If you're on a deserted island. What box of DVDs do you want? Like from what decade?
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't think he's picking the 50s. I know I'm not. I know you're not.
No, like I get that the 50s had like some really impressive.
Yeah, but you don't even get Citizen Kane, which is the greatest film of all time, right?
Right. Well, shut up. But like, I don't need to take Ben Hur with me onto a deserted island, like.
Dude, that got nominated
for 12
Academy Awards.
80 Days. Like not the Jackie Chan one. Like, the Around the World in 80 Days one that people are impressed with, because it's from 1956, but my parents weren't even born yet. Yeah.
Well, so I think you're crazy for suggesting anything other than the 1970s, and so we're going to be here to talk about our lists. Now, the way we constructed these lists was the same way that Mike Krzyzewski...
Very sensically.
the way Mike Krzyzewski...
Just like you'd expect us to.
...constructs his 12-man roster for Team USA, right? So you're going to have your bench of seven and your starting five, Okay. So these aren't ranked in order other than the starting five being the starting five and then the bench. This was a pretty hard exercise, as it is when any list you're creating, but instead of having to actually rank them in any type of order, we have our five best and then we have the bench. So this was really, really hard to do. What I want to do is I'm going to have you go through your bench. And you know what? If you want to throw in a few people that tried out but didn't make the cut for the team, you can mention those people as well. But I want you to run through your bench. I'll run through my bench. And then when we get to our starting five, we'll alternate in terms of naming them. Now, the purpose of this exercise is, one, to defend our era in which we think cinema was at its peak. And also, we want you people, okay, listening to choose.
Whoa. Don't say you people. Sorry. Have you not been watching The People vs. OJ?
Sorry. Oh, yeah. Ooh. Great TV show, by the way. Best TV show on right now.
Dude,
now that
last night,
now that the James Franco JFK drama on Hulu has ended.
Really?
OJ Simpson.
Don't talk about 11/22/16.
I watched it all, by the way. I did.
I watched two episodes and was like, nope.
Oh,
nope.
No, yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious. Like, I mean, I loved it in a way that I can openly admit that there are aspects of it that were so awful. But, like, you throw a JFK conspiracy theory of any kind or any show at me, and I will consume every last bit of it.
Okay, so I didn't watch this whole thing. They do go with the conspiracy that it was a Secret Service guy that accidentally shot him, right?
Nope.
Because that's actually what happened.
Nope.
Like, we can all agree
they,
that.
They go with Oswald as the lone gunman. Which was the most disappointing part of the show. Spoiler alert for those people who haven't seen it. Apparently Oswald did it alone, if you want to believe what the government feeds you.
So this show just spoon feeds you what the government feeds
it
you?
It does. It does.
Come on,
yeah,
show.
It does. Anyway, The People vs. OJ, such a great show. So anyway, back to you people listening.
Not guilty.
I want you guys to tweet at us. Like.
Or Reddit at us.
Or Reddit at
That's
us.
That's our new thing.
That's the thing. This episode is actually brought to you by reddit.com/movies. Skylar, Jurassic Parked username, posed the same question. Yeah. What is the greatest, you know, filmmaking decade, right? And we got a whole bunch of responses, which we'll read after we
including
go through ours.
Someone who made a team, a basketball squad, essentially, by pure accident.
By pure accident. They followed our own rules, and we didn't even ask them to.
It's incredible. So I have the 90s, which I don't know if you know anything about basketball, David. Since you're a Sacramento Kings fan, I assume you don't.
Oh, ouch.
The 90s NBA or all NBA US Team USA team, they were called the Dream Team. And much like the Dream Team, I've also assembled a dream team of movies here from the greatest decade of film that's ever happened. Now, to be fair to film, we've only had like so many decades. I mean, The Jazz Singer was great and all, but before that, we just really don't have film. So we're looking at a pretty limited list. Now, I'm going to be interested in 200 years when we can look back at, like, 25 decades of film. Like, that'll be really interesting. But for now, this is the best decade of film. And you know what? There were a lot of heavyweights trying to make this roster, and not all of them could make it. Stop. And so what I did was I went ahead and divided the movies into genres, and then I made those genres like positions. So in basketball, you have forwards, you have centers, you have guards. So in here, we're gonna have comedies, action, and Oscar baits. And then I have a third fourth subcategory I'm gonna call cartoons, which the 90s is a peak time for cartoons, which this is for Aaron. I know he loves cartoons.
Yes,
so we have some of the best cartoons ever, including an Oscar nominated cartoon for Best Picture.
Oh, which, Beauty and the Beast. Did I just try and sing that? Ugh, so sorry.
That was really good.
Yes.
I think you might be getting a call for a record contract.
Can't wait.
Okay, so can't wait. So comedies, like you said, I'm going for entertainment. I'm going for a movie I want to take with me. I'm not going for a high Rotten Tomato score. I'm not going for Oscar nominated necessarily. And so the comedies that tried out to make the 12-man are Home Alone, Mighty Ducks, Heavyweights. This is Judd Apatow's Heavyweights, the first movie he ever wrote. We're talking Little Big League / Rookie of the Year.
And
great time for comedies. And Big Lebowski.
Wait, I'm sorry. Let me look up. I thought, for some reason, I thought Dumb and Dumber came out in the 90s. Let me double check. Oh.
Dumb and Dumber did come out in the 90s, and it's a great movie. It just, you know, it was injured.
Better than every film you just listed. Okay.
That's just not true. It's patently false.
Wow.
Like, Dumb and Dumber is great, but it's overrated, vastly overrated in my opinion.
Holy moly.
Then in action, we have some more just great movies.
Wait, are
that
these
came
your,
out
is
the
this
decade.
Your bench?
This is the people who auditioned. We're going to get to the bench.
Okay.
Wow. Don't worry. We have Face Off, The Matrix, Independence Day. You have, like, just so many great movies came out in this decade.
Yeah. Mm. You got some good ones in there, some mediocre ones.
Then the Oscar Beatty pictures. Okay. I didn't actually... Let's look. We have, like, you have Shawshank.
Mm-hmm.
Titanic.
Ugh.
A Few Good Men. Jerry Maguire. Magnolia. Apollo 13. The Goodfellas. Babe. Oscar-nominated Babe.
Mm-hmm.
That'll do. And Saving Private Ryan. Ooh. Okay, so I'm going to go for my seven that made the bench but are not starting. I have Apollo 13.
Oh.
I love Apollo 13. It's Ron Howard's best movie.
Oh, wow.
Phenomenal film.
You did not see In the Heart of the Sea.
Get off this podcast. I am so... No. I have... Face slash off.
Oh, it's a good one.
It's incredible. I have Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Earth.
Welcome to Earth.
Well, he does not say Earth. It's a common misconception. Oh, he says welcome to Earth.
He said,
it's very racist.
Who's the captain now?
He says, he looks at him, he says, tell the truth.
It was like,
where are the other aliens?
You come from?
You tell the truth.
Truth.
Okay. We have Goodfellas. Just
wait,
so great.
Goodfellas is on your bench?
Goodfellas is on my bench. Oh, this is what a decade it was, man.
Okay.
This is the decade we had. Like, it's incredible. Shawshank Redemption on the bench.
Yeah. Meh. Meh.
That's
overrated.
I don't know what you're talking about. Toy Story.
Is the in the starting five.
Toy Story. One is on the bench.
Oh, no way.
Uh-huh.
No way. Oh, my God.
Lion King on the bench.
Lion King. Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
And
so those are the best.
Home Alone.
Home Alone?
Home Alone.
Not Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Oh, I hadn't even considered Home Alone 2 Lost in New York is better than Home Alone.
No, it's not. It's not better than Home Alone. It's not.
Oh.
Stop.
My family's in Florida and I'm in New York. My family's in Florida and I'm in New York.
Dude, it's got Donald Trump.
Cue
it's
the
got
music.
Trump.
Oh, there's a lot of movies in the 90s that have Trump. Like The Little Rascals.
Dude, have you ever met Donald Trump?
I have not met Donald Trump.
I have met Donald Trump.
I was in the same room as him.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Our next...
Yeah.
By the way, I'm now 100% certain he will not get the nomination.
Oh, yeah. It's become clear. Yeah.
He's not getting to 1237. Nope. So, I don't know where we need to put our money. I think it's probably going to be Ted Cruz, which, like, 2 months ago, Ted Cruz was 2% chance. Yep. Oh, we should have gotten in on that.
I know we should have. That action, man. Oof.
I was so sure Rubio was going to win.
So was I.
So sure.
That's where I had my money.
Ugh. And you know what? A movie that I thought should have been, it's top 12 quality, but I don't really feel like it's part of the 90s, is Back to the Future 3. It came out in 1990, but it feels like an 80s movie to me.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to include
it. You know what?
It.
I like that. I like that you did that. Yeah.
It's, and like, I have some other films, like The Matrix feels more 2000s to me, even though it came out in 99. Like,
I have a film, a film that I left off of my bench. For that very reason, it's technically 70s, but feels like 80s, so I left it off. That movie is Alien,
and like,
by the way.
For me, movies that, like the 90s, it's a peak period of time for Tom Cruise. It's Nicolas Cage's very best. Now, whether or not you like Nick Cage, most people don't. I love Nick Cage. Like, I have Face Off on this list for a very distinct reason. Face Off is one of the most entertaining movies that has ever been created.
It's really good.
It is insane.
Yeah.
It is two of the most insane actors we have in this world trying to
like
play each other, playing each other.
People.
They're two insane people playing each other.
I know.
Like, it's Nicolas Cage being John Travolta. And it's John Travolta being Nicolas Cage. And it is so next level good. If you haven't seen Face Off, go see Face Off. It's if I had the Criterion Collection under my authority, it would be Criterion Collection. Like,
is it not?
It's so good.
Oh, wow.
I'm guessing its Rotten Tomato score is under 50. I wouldn't know. But if you haven't seen Face Off, this is a movie that's worth buying on iTunes and, like, owning forever. And it's Face/Off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is a phenomenal film. I can't say how proud I am to have this on my bench.
So that's, like, your whole bench.
That's my bench.
Your seven.
Right there.
Run through the seven quickly. Again.
Okay.
Just name them.
Okay. Face Off, Independence Day, Lion King, Toy Story. Did I have a...
I don't know.
Home Alone. Home Alone was definitely on there. I think I decided on
Come
Home
on,
Alone
Coach.
Too,
know your roster. New York.
And, yeah, everybody knows Shawshank.
Okay.
And you know what? And Hook.
Stop.
No. That's what happens when you can have a half-ass okay. list. But my starting five is solid, so don't worry about that, people.
Oh, wow. Well, okay, so...
Whoa! Whoa. Do you know what Face Off's Rotten Tomato score is?
It's got to be like 60-something, 50.
It's 92.
No way.
This is a legitimately, like, beloved movie.
Oh, critics and audiences alike adored this film.
Actually, audiences like it less. It's only an 82 with audiences.
Oh, that's weird.
Dude, critics get it.
Critics get it.
They get it.
Critics get it.
There's, it's a phenomenal
there's
movie.
There's a reason why Batman v Superman is 16% Rotten Tomatoes. Critics get it.
Critics get it. Dude, I want to watch Face Off right now.
I know.
Like, we should do a Face Off episode.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, like, your bench, frankly, wasn't didn't like really impress me, except Face Off. What you've successfully done is make me want to watch Face Off right now.
Oh, come on. Toy Story.
No, Toy Story doesn't belong on the bench. It belongs in the starting five. So,
Home Alone 2. Lost in New York.
Okay. All right. Let's go. I'm going to jump into my bench now.
And I just want you to say, would you rather watch the movie you're about to say or Face/Off?
You've warmed me up to Face Off too much right now. I feel like there's some shout outs I got to make. There's a few few really great films that came out for tryouts. They really had a great showing. Unfortunately, we only have 12 roster spots, so we had to cut them. Really, really sorry. Don't forget. Derrick Rose was also cut from Team USA at one point, rightfully so, though. DeMarcus Cousins made it last year, but the year before he got cut when he should have absolutely made it. So just know that there have been great ones before you that have been cut. And to those people, I will name them here just to give them a shout out. All the Presidents of Men with Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman. Mad Max, which is a series of franchise that Skyler adores. The Exorcist, many consider to be the scariest film of all time. I don't necessarily consider it the scariest, but certainly a great film. The Conversation. This is Francis Ford Coppola's, this decade in the 70s is where we're getting peak Coppola. And so The Conversation still got...
Is that Coppola?
Yeah, Francis Ford Coppola.
I've only ever heard Coppola.
Oh, well. You want me to say Coppola? Or am I going to get killed if I say Coppola? Okay, Francis Ford Coppola. Yeah, that's probably that sounds right.
Just be careful.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right.
I don't want to offend his
American Graffiti,
family.
Directed by a friend of Francis Ford Coppola, George Lucas. sorry, I feel like I need to say it a bunch more times to redeem myself. Coppola.
There you go.
Alien and 1978's Superman. It might be 76, but I'm pretty sure it's 78.
Anyway, so that didn't make the
roster. Did not make the roster. Those all got cut. Great films. Just not enough space. The Bench. This one did come out in 1978. Man, I get 78 and 76 mixed up all the time, so I'm actually not going to try and guess the dates. But this one was one of my favorite horror films of all time. I believe it's a horror masterpiece, and it started the whole genre of slasher films that I can't necessarily vouch for, but they all spawn from this great film, and that is Halloween, John Carpenter's Halloween, a film that I love. I watch every year on Halloween. It's a great, great film. Next is when we get the beginning of Spielberg's greatness with Close Encounters of the Third Kind. So those are the first two bench spots there. When I say first two, I don't mean in any order. Then we have Jack Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, a really, really great film. Then we're going to move back to Francis Ford Coppola with Apocalypse Now. Oh,
are you saying Coppola?
Dude, I reverted back. Gosh darn it.
Oh, no.
Francis Ford Coppola with Apocalypse Now. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Robert Duvall is terrific. Martin Sheen even better. So that's Apocalypse Now, directed by Francis Ford Coppola. Not to be confused with Francis Ford Coppola. The next one is The Godfather 2 on my bench, believe it or not.
Wow.
One of the greatest films of all time. The only sequel in history to win the Academy Award for Best Picture. And that is 6 of my 7 roster spots, I think. Nope, I got 2 more. That's 5. The last two are a little bit more on the comedic and fun side. One of those is Monty Python and the Holy Grail, which is
the
father of all comedies. There were no funny movies before it, only funny movies after it. That one edged out Animal House for the kind of token comedy spot. This next one's more family fun slash comedy, and that is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, which I consider an absolute classic. So my bench: Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Apocalypse Now, The Godfather 2, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and Halloween. That's a pretty deep bench to be bringing into a championship game. So
I got one thing to be saying first. Yeah. There's a movie that I watch every Halloween that came out in the 90s.
Oh, boy.
That didn't even make the conversation.
Scream?
That's better than Halloween. No. It's got the word Halloween in the name.
Halloween Town!
Halloween Town, starring Kimberly J. Brown and Debbie Reynolds.
So that's...
Tell me that Halloween Town's not better than Halloween. Tell
me. It's not. It's definitely not better than... Okay, so that's my bench. Let's get to our starting
five.
No, we're
not talking about Return to Halloween.
So, you said you applied positions to your starting five. I did not, but I will let you. We're going to alternate here. So if you, this isn't in any order, just the five. But if you want to start with your small forward from Lower Merion High School, number 8. I'm just kidding. That's Kobe Bryant.
It's got to be
shooting guard.
I'll start with one of the starting comedies.
Okay.
Big Lebowski. An all-time great movie. So quotable. So watchable. I can watch that movie every couple months, and it's just as good.
Interesting.
It's a Steve Buscemi performance. Oh, wow. Steve Buscemi makes it into this. Maybe the 90s was Steve Buscemi's decade, but yeah, there's a couple movies in the starting lineup with Steve Buscemi in it. But yeah, I love, 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 love Steve Buscemi, and he's never been better than he is in Big Lebowski. And... it's just it's an all-time great movie. It's Coen Brothers at their best, Jeff Bridges at his best.
All right, Big Lebowski. Okay, so I'm gonna go.
You also have the, unfortunately now dead, Philip Seymour Hoffman. As a very young Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much drugs he was doing yet. So.
Oh well.
He's kind of an untainted.
Do you want to go ahead and speculate? Or.
I'm gonna say he was doing a little bit of drugs. Not like as much drugs as Gene Wilder was doing while he was filming one of your favorites, Willy Wonka, but like
so
half a Gene Wilder.
Okay.
Who's still alive while Philip Seymour Hoffman lays in the ground.
Oh.
There's no justice in this world.
No, there's not. All right. So your first of – so one of your starting five, Big Lebowski.
Mm-hmm.
All right. One of my starting five is going to be – the most inspirational sports film of all time, Rocky, with Sylvester Stallone. I don't need to tell people why this is the most inspirational sports film of all time. You guys all know it. This is a film I can still watch. It's got this inherent rewatchability. It won Best Picture at the Academy Awards, which is awesome because it's one of those ones you know that they kind of wish they could take back the Academy, but I'm
right.
So glad that they can't. And it's so – it's really – usually the other way around. Like, we look back and it's not great. I mean, I have the list of the Best Picture Academy Awards for both the 70s and the 90s, and it's amazing how much the critics got wrong. And this is one of the few times they got right. And Rocky was the Best Picture that year.
Although not the best picture in the series. Weird.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? Because Rocky IV, like it got better little did they know.
Rocky IV is the best Rocky. There's no argument.
So I love Rocky. That the montage and running up the steps will never get old to me. So that's my first of my starting five. What's your second?
That's a good starting position. Why don't we do Snake? So you go second.
Here. Oh, you want to do Snake It?
Yeah, okay. Snake All right. It.
My next one is, if anyone listened to the Scorsese pod I recorded with Aaron, they'll know what my favorite Martin Scorsese film is, and that is what my second of my starting five is, and that's Taxi Driver with Robert De Niro. That is such a good film. It is a masterpiece film. I say good film. That's such an understatement. It is a masterpiece film. This character study, this man on the street kind of character study, this slow prodding into madness that is captured in a startling, horrific, yet can't take my eyes off the screen way. I love this film so much. Taxi Driver those are the first two. So right back at you, Skyler.
There you go. In my second comedy spot, we have one of my favorite movies of all time, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Which reintroduced us to John Travolta, and we never would have been able to enjoy the insanity of John Travolta that we got afterwards.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Pulp Fiction resurrecting his career. And Tarantino kind of showing the world what he was capable of. This movie got all the recognition in the world.
Yep.
I believe he got an Oscar for best screenplay. Yeah. And he kind of showed us that he's this crazy, insane person who's insanely talented. And
I mean,
the way it approaches filmmaking is really innovative. The storytelling, the character development's interesting. Like, I know a lot of people like Reservoir Dogs, which is another great 90s movie, but I prefer Pulp Fiction over Reservoir Dogs. Yeah. And I think it's Tarantino's best. And I love Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, I don't think that's controversial at all. While I do slightly prefer Inglourious Basterds, Pulp Fiction was my favorite. I mean, all growing up, it was
Inglourious Basterds is just so watchable. But yeah, I'll still take Pulp.
Yeah, Pulp is such a great film. That's good. This is where Tarantino doesn't get enough credit, though, is not only was Pulp Fiction such a great film, but he single-handedly revived the careers of both John Travolta and Bruce Willis, who both were kind of tanking really, really hard. Now, they bet on this indie filmmaker that had one huge hit with Reservoir Dogs. And I'm sure those guys took enormous pay cuts to what they were used to. But because of Tarantino, we have Face Off. Because of Tarantino, we have The Sixth Sense and Disney's The Kid, which films Bruce Willis would have never made.
And Unbreakable.
And Unbreakable.
Hello.
We have Surrogate with Bruce Willis. We have Red and Red 2, films we just wouldn't have without Tarantino.
It's so true. Disney's The Kid.
Without
Did you mention that?
Tarantino, yet? We don't have The People versus O.J. Simpson. We don't have the best Bob Shapiro the world could ever ask for.
We don't get Bob Shapiro. We don't get those eyebrows. There's just no way we're getting those eyebrows.
We don't get the Botox in the eyebrows.
No.
So we're snaking this, which means you're doing another one, right? Is that?
That's true.
Okay.
So now we're going to one of my Oscar-baity movies. Oh, I need to be careful when I say that. My next movie in the starting lineup is Fargo.
Oh, yes. You have two Coen films.
Yes.
Wow.
And they're both incredible.
Yet you don't have the Coens on your Mount Rushmore. It's amazing.
Did I not have the Coens on my Mount
Rushmore? No, neither of us did.
No,
when I did the Coens pod with Aaron, I removed Wes Anderson and put the Coens on.
How are the Coens not on both of our Mount
Rushmores? It's back on mine. I took Wes Anderson off. He needs a few more hits.
He needs two more. I mean, the Coen brothers, there is a guy in Hollywood named Ethan Coen.
Yeah.
So I feel like they do have that going against them.
That's true.
That the Garfield, like, there's some movies out there being made. They're getting credit for the Garfield movies. But besides that, like, I mean, they did make Get Hard on accident, like Ethan Coen.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If you look up Joel and Ethan Coen's IMDb, they have credits under there for Garfield and Get Hard, erroneously. So
it's true. But I adore Fargo. It's one of my favorite movies. Mm. And if we don't have Fargo, we don't get the Fargo TV series, which, although not as great as the movie, it's incredible on its own. And the movie holds up. Bill Macy is incredible in it. Buscemi's great in it. Like, it's everything that it should be, and it delivers on every minute that it's on screen.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
That's good. That's good. The 90s had some good films. I mean, it's pretty good.
Dream Team worthy, I would say.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm hesitant to use the word great, but it is very good. So my next two films is going to be two of the greatest films of all time, which is really what this list is made up of in the 70s. It's just unbelievable. Like, you can make arguments. My three remaining are essentially like the – I imagine them as like 3 7-footers in the paint that can also hit the three-pointer, and they're all named Dirk Nowitzki. And these are like three Dirks.
You don't need three Dirks. Your team would be so bad on defense.
Okay, there's 3 Shaquille O'Neals.
There you go.
Not great at the free throw line, but pretty dominant. And so these are 3 really strong picks. The first one's going to be Spielberg's first film, Jaws, which I've said on the pod many times, I consider the greatest film of all time. Jaws has every single thing I would ever want in a film. I believe it's expertly crafted. It's expertly acted, written, filmed. The pacing, the music, everything about this film is truly unbelievable. We had a fun little exercise over text this week about if they were going to remake that film, who we cast in the different spots. I had suggested for the role of Quint, you know, this shark hunter, Nick Nolte, which I feel like has just enough crazy and just enough like unintelligible like talking. It would work.
He could do it.
I had suggested for Richard Dreyfuss's role, Colin Hanks, but then you mentioned he might do better in the Roy Scheider role as the sheriff of the town, and I think you're right. I think Colin Hanks in that role, he's got the just the right amount of purity.
He's got the purity. He's also got the, like, he loves his family. You can just tell he would do anything for them. But he's also like a little bit too nervous to stand up to the mayor. Like,
yeah,
he's got it all.
Yeah, no, it'd be great. I hope he says yes when they inevitably make the ill-advised remake. So that's Jaws. And the next film is another one that many consider to be the greatest film of all time, and I also happen to agree with them that it could be Jaws or it could be The Godfather, Francis Ford Coppola's masterpiece. With Marlon Brando, Al Pacino. I know there's kind of an eternal debate about, is it Godfather 1 better, Godfather 2? Godfather 2 is like the darker, the grittier, it's got the De Niro flashback scenes. But truthfully, I'm going to go with the one with Marlon Brando. It's like the transcendent performance and the whole thing. It's Brando's best work. And it's such a good film from beginning to end. I mean, it's a masterpiece again. I keep saying that word, but they apply. Godfather's a masterpiece. Jaws is a masterpiece. Taxi Driver is a masterpiece. That's just the truth of it. So those are my next two. I feel like this is a bulletproof starting five. I have one left to go, and it's a film that you probably could guess. But we're snaking it, so it's back to you.
Okay, I think everybody knows what this next one is because it's maybe the best story ever told. But it's a Toy Story 2. It's the return to Toy Story, which obviously one of the greatest films of all time.
So
it's
wow.
But Toy Story 2, it looks a lot better. It's, I think, an even more compelling story. I think you get a deeper dive into these characters. You get introduced to some new characters.
Yeah.
And you care. You care so much. And there's a reason it's got 100 on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, it's just, it's an amazing film. Hmm. And I love it so much. However, it's not the star of the team. Like, this is another guy he's going to put up 20 and 20, but he's also going to pass. He's going to pass it to the greatest film of all time, which is the last film on the starting lineup, Jurassic Park, which when I said that Toy Story 2 is the greatest story of all time, I actually meant it's the second greatest. And when you say Jaws is the greatest film of all time, you mean the second greatest, because we all know Jurassic Park combines everything great about cinema. It builds a world. It does everything you could imagine, everything you would want to ever happen. Here's something amazing about Jurassic Park. My niece, who's 2, will watch Jurassic Park now, but only for the scenes where there's dinosaurs in it. She skips the rest of it. She's not quite there yet. But it's good for 2-year-olds. I saw the movie when it first came out when I was 4 and loved it. Like, my grandma took me, and I was just completely sold. But then when I was like 16 and I'm rewatching it, there's all these new elements to it that just are incredible. This film, it's so good. Like, it's disappointing that it's turned into this franchise now where, like, when people think of Jurassic Park, they also think of Jurassic Park 3 or the lesser Lost World or the lesser Jurassic World. But Jurassic Park on its own, it's a masterpiece.
Look,
It's a magnum opus.
a movie cannot be
It's
judged by its
perfect.
sequels, just like Jaws can't be, right? I mean, this is,
Right.
yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, and in many ways, it's kind of like Jaws, where you have like state-of-the-art technology, that's really kind of a selling point for some people to see it. Like, my 2-year-old niece loves it because there's these cool dinosaurs. If Jurassic Park, the original, was made today, there would be CGI, there would be all sorts of things going on. Where this movie has CGI peppered in, but you don't see it.
Just the
Like,
right amount.
it's you watch the scenes and you believe it.
Yeah.
And then you have robotics. Like, you have real fake dinosaurs, and you can tell. And the performances show it. Sam Neill is at his best.
Yeah.
Dr. Ian
Malcolm.
Malcolm, the great Dr. Ian Malcolm, is one of the greatest characters, I think, in film
Well,
history.
the chaos theory,
Like,
right? I mean.
he's got the chaos theory. He drops the water on the hand, and you learn so much. And I could watch Jurassic Park once a week, every week for the rest of my life,
I know it
and
doesn't
I
show
would
it on
never get
screen,
bored of it.
but Laura Dern does sleep with him in that film, right?
They absolutely do. Oh,
You
yeah. When he's injured, there's no doubt.
know, I love that Jurassic Park's your favorite movie. I love that both of our favorite films of all time are Spielberg films
Yep,
that
that
are
makes sense.
20 years apart, which is amazing. I also love that you and I went to see the 20th anniversary of Jurassic Park with
Together.
with Robin Lopez and
With
Ryan
the Sacramento
Anderson
Kings.
of the New Orleans Pelicans.
Were they not? Oh, it wasn't the Kings, it was the Pelicans.
Pelicans, yeah, the Pels.
They were not the Pelicans yet, though. They were still the Hornets
Oh
at the time.
yeah, they were the Hornets.
It was
But
a while
anyway,
back.
yeah, that was fun.
Dude, Spielberg.
Spielberg, man.
So, the year of 1993, he releases Schindler's List and Jurassic Park, two of the greatest films ever made.
That
One of the greatest
man,
films
I
ever
don't know how
made.
he did those back to back like that. Schindler's List didn't make your list at all, right?
I mean, it auditioned. It just didn't make the. I don't know. Somebody can look. It might
So
have.
if you were
I don't
Oscar
know.
Schindler making the list, it doesn't
This is not Oscar Schindler's List, for the record.
it.
And the way he was able to make both those movies, if you remember, he somehow got NBC to send him tapes of Seinfeld. And so I just like to picture Spielberg sitting over there, like, working on Schindler's List, and in the background, it's like, what's the deal with Schindler's List? I mean, you got a list. Go to the grocery store already. Am I right? Boop a doop boop boop a doop boop boop.
That's
Which,
great.
it's too bad that that didn't bleed over into the movie. Schindler's List would have been much better if it had
Well, it would have
bass
been more
lines
a little
throughout.
lighter, a little more watchable.
A little bit. That's the thing, is it's amazing, but it's not like I don't want to watch it every year.
Well, all right. So what's your top? Give me your starting five. Read them all.
Jurassic Park, Fargo, Toy Story 2, Pulp Fiction, Big Lebowski.
I would switch out Toy Story 2 with Toy Story, I think, but I can't totally blame you. Toy Story 2 has 100% Rotten Tomatoes. All right, so my last of my starting five, my center, right in the middle, just anchoring the defense and doing all the putbacks on the offensive on the offensive boards, is a film. I think you could say it's had a. It's been a little bit of a cultural touchstone. I think it's permeated certain decades and age groups since it's it came out in 1977, and that is George Lucas's Star Wars.
What's
And
that?
so Star Wars, it's not to
I
be
haven't heard of
confused
that
with
one.
Star Trek or Capricorn One starring O.J. Simpson. It's a different type of space movie.
Is that one word or is it two separate words?
No, it's two. I'm pretty sure it's. I'd have to look
Star
it up, but I'm
Wars.
pretty sure
Star
it's
Wars.
two words. Star
Star
Wars,
Wars.
not Star Wars. Star Wars is
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Correct. Yeah.
I think I saw Star Wars once.
Oh, did you? Okay, I think that's something else. I think that was a different one. I think
Oh,
it's probably
okay.
different. Yeah, not the same. No. People have heard of this one. So
Oh.
that means my starting five. is Star Wars, The Godfather, Jaws, Taxi Driver, and Rocky. So just let that sink in for
a second. I'm not one to sacrifice my own. Like, I know it makes better podcasts if I just stand by my list.
Right.
But that's a way better starting lineup. You're going to crush me. Like, that. It's not even an argument. Like, you just listed five of the top 10 films of all time. The number one film of all time. This is like LeBron's Cavs in the
versus the Warriors.
You know? They've got the best player, but then he's playing teams who have like five of the top 10. You know, like you can't do it without a deeper roster. And you do that's a salty starting five.
But
I'm going to say that my the bench difference is here better,
is our listenership is and I think that they are people like us that were raised on 90s films. So what you have with the exception of Star Wars here, you have the benefit of nostalgia and of growing
nostalgia
up.
Nostalgia is a big player in these.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where, absolutely.
Like where I think Taxi Driver, not everyone's nostalgia. Going to agree that that's like a super fun rewatchable film. But
yeah, I'm going to say it's a little slower.
It's a little slower, certainly. Great Jodie Foster performance.
I would rather watch Heavyweights, but that's because I'm a flawed person.
Now, where was Heavyweights in your list again?
I think it was on the bench.
It was on the bench.
You know what? I just have my list, and I kind of made the bench on the fly. So if anybody's listening at home, they're probably furious because they're like, what? No, no, no. You just said like 18 different movies on your bench. Screw you. I don't care. Just kidding. I love the listeners.
Now, let's hear what the critics had to say in terms of the – so this is the Best Picture Oscar winners from the 10 years in the 70s and the 90s. What's that?
We don't need to look at the best pictures.
No. I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting to see where people were right or wrong or whatever. So this is not meant to compare one or the other. But in the 70s, the best picture winners were Patton, The French Connection, The Godfather, The Sting, The Godfather 2, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Rocky, Annie Hall, The Deer Hunter, and Kramer versus Kramer. Really interesting list. Obviously, half of those are on my list. The other half are not. I think The French Connection is one that I could have added that I didn't. Annie Hall.
I watched that on a plane.
What's that?
I didn't love French Connection.
Oh, you didn't love it?
I watched it on a plane.
No?
And it just didn't do it for me.
Oh, okay. Here are the 90s films.
Feel free to.
You left off this one, which surprised me. Dances with Wolves.
No, I did not believe that. It does
great
not belong.
Kevin Costner, Avatar Before Avatar, great film.
Which, by the way, 1990, Godfather Part 3 was nominated for Best Picture. Yes, despite how
isn't
bad
that crazy?
It is.
We talk about the Godfather 3 about how it's like the horrible money grab, terrible film. It got nominated for Best Picture.
One of five movies. This is back when five movies were nominated.
Isn't that crazy? Anyway.
So Goodfellas should have won 1990.
I wanted you to have Godfather 3 in your starting lineup, just to middle finger me, because you knew I was going to have the Godfather in mind.
I was considering it.
All right. The last nine Best Picture winners from the 90s were Silence of the Lambs, Unforgiven,
Beauty and the Beast, or JFK,
Schindler's List, Forrest Gump, Braveheart,
Park.
The English Should Patient, which was weirdly absent from your list.
Should have been Apollo 13.
Titanic.
Should have been Fargo. Should have been Good Will Hunting.
Shakespeare in Love. Should have been Saving Private Ryan.
Yes, should have been Saving Private Ryan.
And American Beauty, which I think is a wildly overrated film.
By the way, Sixth Sense was nominated for Best Picture.
And it should have been.
No!
Yeah. Yes. We laugh about M. Night Shyamalan now, but that was a great film.
It's a fun movie, but is it Best Picture?
By the way, was JFK on your list?
Back into the left of my list.
Oh, it's back into the left, back into the left. Okay. Back.
Yeah.
To the left. Okay. I see it. Oh, I see it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Back into the left. Okay.
Back into the left.
Oliver Stone's JFK.
I feel like there's a lot of people listening right now who are like, I think that there's a joke here, but I don't get it, so I don't care. By the way, 1994, Forrest Gump won. Preposterous. There were two better movies that year. There's a reason Forrest Gump's not on my list. Okay. It's so overrated.
Yeah, I feel like there's two. What's weird is I think there's been so much hate brought upon two Best Picture winners of like recent past, Forrest Gump and Crash. There's so much hate that's brought upon those two films now that to me, there's almost too much hate with Forrest Gump that I've come back around and I've decided to backlash against the backlash, and I think Forrest Gump should have been.
Won. Better than Pulp Fiction?
No, it's not better than Pulp Fiction. Of course,
is it better than The Shawshank Redemption?
Yes.
Is it better than Quiz Show?
Yes, I love Quiz Show though. Quiz Show is really good.
Is it better than Four Weddings and a Funeral?
Oh no, it's not better than that.
Stop nominating English pictures for American awards,
dude. The English Patient, though, man, that was something. That was something. I have never seen that film, by the way. I never will.
No, there's a lot of movies that I've not seen that. So are not gonna be seen.
We mentioned that we brought this up on Reddit. So should we? Let's run through and talk about what Reddit had to say.
First off, thank you to everyone who got onto the discussion on Reddit. Yes. I'm talking to you. I am Jack, 32. Yep. 10.
And to you, Chold Slingshot.
I think that's Seaholds Ling. Seahold Ling's Ling-shot. Hot.
Oh, Ling's Hot. Oh, that makes more sense.
Yes, Seaholds Ling Hot. Ling's Hot.
I love this. I love this. You posted this question.
Pomerarian?
You posted this question in r/movies. You have one upvote on the question generally, but you've got 13 comments.
And there's been a lot of votes. I think I saw at one point it was like 56% upvote, which I think means there's like 15 votes. Just a lot of people voted it down.
Yeah, which is so weird.
Haters gonna hate, yeah. hate.
And their anders are gonna ain't. No, so no. We'll start with Jack, our friend. I am Jack 3210. He just simply says what I love about the way he answered this question is that he put the era. And he listed the movies. He didn't have to defend it. He didn't offer any commentary. He played by the rules of the question perfectly.
Except he listed more than five.
Oh, I said perfectly. And by perfectly, I mean wrong. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Maybe he's a seven-man rotation type of coach. Seven-man rotation? You've heard of that before.
Yeah, it's going to make everybody super tired.
Yeah, that's true. This is a tired lineup. But he argues for the 1950s, which he includes.
Which is Aaron's.
Argument. Yes, Aaron is going to love this. Vertigo, mm-hmm. Seventh Seal, Sunset Boulevard, Ikiru.
One of my favorites.
Classic.
I just got the box set collector's edition. It's great.
Seven Samurai. I'm reading how it's how it's spelled. I'm sorry.
We don't need to be making fun of him.
I'm not making fun of him. I read it how it came out. I didn't realize it's probably Samurai. It's probably what it meant to be. Paths of Glory, which I think is Paths of Glory. Isn't that an Edward Norton film?
I think that's where it's a West Texas basketball team that the coach decides to play black players.
Josh Lucas.
He takes on the Adolph Rupp coached Kentucky team who was playing all white guys.
Yeah, yeah. It's Paths of Glory Road is what he meant.
Right. And I think that they somehow, like in this remarkable movie, he manages to get a team of black players to beat a team of white players. It's a miracle, really. Actually, I would be much more interested to see the reverse angle of this guy named Adolf, who is trying to keep black people out of the sport, and is like, I can win with only white players, watch me. And it's like pretty much what the Utah Jazz did in the 2000s. Watch us get Andre Kirilenko.
Then his last film here, 12 Angry Men, which I think is an overlooked film. It's Jack Nicholson, Adam Sandler.
Yep.
Yeah. I think it came out in the 2000s. But
is he not referencing the Amy Schumer sketch?
Oh, you're right. He is. Oh, yeah. This is Amy Schumer bit.
She's so funny. Her sketch wasn't black and white. She's so funny. She gets it.
All right. So okay. Moving on to Seaholds Ling's Hot.
I got a heart out.
When do you have a heart out?
In like 10 minutes. So let's just move through these.
All right. So this dude says the 1960s for sure. Okay. He says, I'll take the liberty of posting more than just five films because it's hard to pick a top five amongst them all against the rules. It's
pretty much a full basketball team.
Okay. So he goes with The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Doctor Strangelove.
Doctor Strangelove is an all-time great.
Yes. He's got Doctor Zhivago. He's got The Island of Dr. Moreau. He's got, Dr. No.
Dr. Phil.
Oh, he went with the doctor theme. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, Dr. Phil. Yes.
I'm kidding.
Dr. Sound of Music.
He does have two doctors on his list. He has Dr. Strangelove and Dr. No. He's got Yojimbo, which is a fun. It's a documentary about Kimbo Slice.
I thought it was about Jimbo Fisher. Coach. Jimbo Fisher. Yo, Jimbo.
The coach of Florida State, Jimbo Fisher. Yo, Jimbo.
We have to produce that film. We're going to win the Oscar for Best Short Documentary. Yo, Jimbo.
I already love
we
this.
We film it in the style of one of Kurosawa's masterpieces. By the way, this idea of using Reddit to get ideas and then like maybe these people would go on to listen to our podcast. We are burning every bridge we have built.
We've burned them all. I don't feel like...
So sorry.
Seahold's Ling's hot doesn't strike me as the type of guy who would like our Jimbo Fisher bit.
No, he does not. Somebody who's putting The Sound of Music in their top 11 films of the decade does not follow Florida State football. You know what's sad is my mind saw Yo Jimbo and thought of Jimbo Fisher. My mind has been so polluted by ESPN.com. So polluted.
Yo Jimbo! Oh, that's so good. All right.
Jimbo Fisher. I know. It's so stupid. Okay, I'm really proud of that. Let's move on. So he's got Sound of Music, Psycho, gosh. Birds, Hitchcock Classics, Lawrence of Arabia.
Rosemary's Baby.
Which is, everybody loves. Yeah, Dr. Rosemary's Baby.
Dr. Rosemary's Baby.
Which is impossible because in the 50s, ladies could not be doctors.
Yep, not possible. I think 60s, right? Yeah. Okay.
Well, no, Amy Schumer fixed it.
Yep, she did. All right, then we got Pomeranian who posted that, who agreed with me, 70s, Taxi Driver, The Exorcist, Chinatown, Deliverance, all movies, by the way, except with the exception of Taxi Driver that I didn't mention. Apocalypse Now, honorable mentions, Monty Python, Godfather. Godfather being an honorable mention seems a little like there's a story behind there. Like Pomeranian clearly doesn't like The Godfather for some reason because there's no way it should be an honorable mention. Next up,
what I found really interesting about Pomeranian's post is there's no indication of where the movie title begins and ends. So when I first saw it, I thought he was talking about the film The Exorcist Chinatown, which is a very different movie starring Russell Crowe. And I was like, you know what? I liked The Exorcist Chinatown. And then like Deliverance Apocalypse is not a good movie. But...
No, it's not. No, no, no.
Now Han, which is the best movie to come out of China in the last 20 years, is... I saw Now Han.
Is it terrible? I saw Now Han and I thought, oh, another Kurosawa film made the list.
Which, by the way, which Monty Python is he referencing?
It's the Holy Grail. It's the Holy Grail. He's not talking about Life of Brian.
Okay. Life of Brian's trash. Okay.
All right. So exceptional ID. 50s. You want to read those off?
Yeah. Let's go. Ooh, I just lost it. You know what? I'm going to read it really fast. Seven Samurai. Yeah. Panthali. On the waterfront,
so good.
Rashomon, The Searchers, Touch of Evil, Rear Window, 12 Angry Men. A lot of Amy Schumer fans on ours.
Yeah, huge amount of Amy Schumer fans.
Tokyo Story, A Streetcar Named Desire, which everybody knows is incredible. The 400 Blows. And so this is another person who is not liking our Jimbo Fisher humor at all. And probably did not like... Face/Off. So
no, I don't think so.
Keep listening to the pod; it'll get better. I promise.
So Brian Denny, Denny's. Oh yeah, Denny's the next post. He also is a vote for the '70s: Godfather, Apocalypse Denny. Now, Godfather 2, Deer Hunter. Deer Hunter, I didn't talk about a lot. It was a troubling movie the first time I saw it. I probably need to revisit it. Maybe I was too young when I saw it. But man, did that scar me.
Brian Denny needs. He wants you to rewatch it. Brian Denny.
Yes, he does. Brian. It's Denny's. Yeah, Denny's.
Denny's. Oh. Pancakes.
He's got Star Wars, A New Hope. I think he means just Star Wars, 1976.
By the way, this is the guy who, he's got the exact format for the team.
Yeah, he does. He followed the five starting five, seven bench players. His bench players are A Clockwork Orange, which I actually didn't mention either, Taxi Driver, Jaws, The Exorcist, Chinatown, One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest, and Rocky, which is great. Awesomeness.
I just realized.
Yeah?
If you accidentally switched the vowel in Jaws with another vowel, you could get in a lot of trouble. So just be careful out there, guys, when you're typing Jaws. Okay. Don't let it autocorrect on you. I I had that accident one time, so just be careful. Okay, next guy. All right. Awesomeness 0232. Yep. I guess 0232.
Yeah.
Do you think that there were like a lot of awesomenesses out there? Yeah. So he had to go for
I think there were at least 231.
Right. And like out of 1,000. Because, you know, there were already he had to add the zero in there.
He had to add the zero.
Or do you think that's like the last four of his social?
Yeah, I bet it is. That makes sense. It's probably his four. Yeah, his social.
Cool. He went with 50s, so he's not going to like the Jimbo Fisher humor again.
Another Jimbo Fisher.
Because I have not heard of even one of these movies.
Oh, wow. Okay,
Some Like It Hot I've heard of.
Oh, Some Like It Hot.
Yeah, I'm showing myself to be really uncultured because I've not heard of Elevator to the Gallows or Sancho the Bailiff or The Night of the Hunter. So.
Or The 400 Blows.
I've heard that one.
Are these real movie titles?
I know that one's real because Exceptional ID mentioned it earlier. Man, these guys are so much more cultured than I am. This is incredible.
Oh, are they really good at trolling us?
No. This is
The Cosmicola. Cosmicola has the 30s.
Cosmicola.
Frankenstein's Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, Frankenstein Presents Gone with the Wind.
The 30, Frankenstein, Gone with the Wind, Modern Times, The 39 Steps, and City Lights.
Also, another time where somebody did not differentiate between movies at all. No, they didn't.
That's difficult. Weird. That's so weird for Reddit to not, for the people not to use, Redditors not to use commas.
Maybe there's a thing about it.
And then he also put the 70s, so another vote for the 70s. He put Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Mean Streets, A Clockwork Orange, Dirty Harry, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. He says, these are my personal favorites. He spells favorites the British way. So,
oh, he's English.
Just wanted to
Cosmicola.
Welcome our friend from across the pond, unless he's from
Good
Canada,
day, mate.
Which is equally as likely.
It's across Lake Superior.
Yeah, yeah. And then we have Tombstone Shadows, 28. He's 28 years old, coming at us with
how many of the Great Lakes could you name in the next 5 seconds?
Great Lakes? Lake One, Michigan, Lake Erie, Ontario.
Mississippi 4, Mississippi 5, Mississippi.
I'm not allowed to say anymore, but I know.
Nope. Okay, well, too bad.
He's got a whole bunch from the 70s, by the way, that I did not include. He has this huge, exhaustive list. Night Moves,
he
Network,
went, like,
Suburbia.
He went by year, too. This is impressive. Like, he put some time into this.
Yes, he
and
did.
And he used the dots at the beginning.
Yep.
How do you call that?
I love that. I don't even know how to do that in Reddit. I love it.
Dude, he's got some.
He's
got some knowledge
in the 70s. So clearly, he loves the 70s. He doesn't even say the 70s. He just lists a whole bunch of movies from the 70s. The Ballad of Cable Hogue, a movie I totally forgot to leave off my list, mostly because I've never heard of it until this moment that I'm reading it.
And now, his second movie is Valkyrie, which I'm pretty sure is a movie. With
yeah,
Tom Cruise
I know. I was reading
that
too. I was
2000s.
Like, I don't think he knows. That's definitely 2000s.
Yeah, and he's got Cries plus Whispers, which. I think that might have been the prequel to Romeo plus Juliet.
So
the 90s variation.
He also has Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia, which is Godfather 2, Fredo, which it must have been.
Yeah.
He must be from Europe. I don't know if it's an alternate title, but it's just called The Godfather 2 in America. So.
And then he's got a movie that has three commas in the title. It's called Gene Dielman, or the comma is actually an or 23 Commerce Quay, or 1080 Brussels. It's kind of like that Birdman title.
Yeah.
It's very pretentious. Yeah. I like it. Then his next movie is Jaws and Night Moves, Network, Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Suspiria.
Next
another
got,
movie I probably should know about.
Let's just jump down to Walter White 413. Loving when people use their area code, represent the 413. He argues for the 60s and gives us a clean five. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Psycho, Dr. Strangelove, Once Upon a Time in the West, and To Kill a Mockingbird. That's the best case of the 60s I've heard yet, by the way.
P.S. Shout out to the western third of Massachusetts, the 413.
Yeah. Is that what it is? Did you look it up?
Oh, I Googled that.
And I love this next one, Tony Hawk. He has...
That is not Tony Hawk. That's Tino...
Tino Inc.
I'm going to say it's...
Tino...
Tino Yink.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ooh,
but
I don't
he
like
says,
saying that one.
The 70s are probably a popular answer, also the correct one, but the 1990s are a close second for me. In fact,
yeah,
1999 may be the best year for film in history.
I think he liked The Matrix.
I think he liked The Matrix, because 93 is the strongest year.
Sixth Sense.
So
and then somebody replied.
So he's saying the 90s deleted. I love that he says the 90s are a close second, which means the 70s are his number one. So this dude is listening to this pod, I hope, because he is thinking like we think.
He'll get it.
Homeboy, get it. Homeboy responds and deletes his comment.
This is Georgie Moan, who replied by saying,
yeah,
1984
is
the best movie.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not.
I think it's Georgie Ramon.
Oh, okay.
Georgie Ramon, send us an email. Let us know.
Yeah. Yeah, and he made a comment about something about 1984 being his favorite decade for film.
Which I think was actually his favorite film.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. The movie 1984. Yeah. I think that makes sense
to
me.
Did that come out in 84?
No.
Oh, he's... Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it came out in
83. It's easily explained. Oh. It's easily explained because... He forgot his brain medicine today.
Yeah, which, someone wrote, 1984 is a year, not a decade, dummy.
That was Walking Dead.
Yeah, it was Walking Dead.
Walking Dad. That's a great username. That's so good. That's the best username so far. Wow, Walking Dead. Walking well Dead. Done.
Well, you have the best username on here, which is Jurassic Parked.
I've been thinking about it. I kind of wish I would have gone with Jurassic Parkour, but I feel like that might be trying too hard.
It's also Walking Taken, Dad. By the way.
You think so?
Yeah. So, anyway... So that looks like that's all of our all the people on Reddit.
It's parkour.
And we're also over an hour, and we're also over your hard stop. But tweet us. Tweet us, please. Hashtag the 70s, hashtag the 90s. Which was a better decade of cinema in your opinion? Let us know. We will be coming back at you. I think our next review, it may or may not be Eye in the Sky if Skylar ends up seeing it, but it will certainly be, if not that, it will be The Jungle Book, Jon Favreau, speechwriter for Barack Obama, his next great film, starring Bill Murray as The Bare Necessities, The Simple Bare Necessities.
This movie is going to be a financial disaster.
It will not be. It's got 100% Rotten Tomatoes.
It's going to be a financial disaster.
Okay, well, we're still going to review
it. Nobody's going to see this movie.
But anyway, anything else you got, Skylar?
Jurassic Parkour is taken, which is kind of disheartening.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, if you have influence on r/movies and you enjoyed this pod or you found us bearable or you didn't like us, use your influence to help us, get past zero upvotes.
Yes.
We want to make it onto the front page of r/movies so we can meet the people and... We would love for you guys to help us get more cultured with our film.
Yeah.
Love.
That'd be great.
And the Mavs are playing the Rockets. I'm going to go watch the end of that. Go Mavericks.
So you can find us on Reddit. Skylar is Jurassic Parked, and I am Captain Outstanding.
That's right.
No numbers, no underscores, no dashes, just the words. Captain Outstanding and Jurassic Parked.
Hey, question for you.
Yeah.
Hardcore Henry, thoughts?
I'm not going to see it. Not interested.
It's tempting.
You're not gonna see it. Are you really interested in seeing it?
Not if I have to pay for it, but I'd see a free screening.
I'd see.
I feel like that's a movie that was made for like the galaxy. You put in the galaxy into like the cardboard box that Google gives you.
Yeah.
And then you just watch it that way. Why is that movie not made that way?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a really good question.
Like a missed opportunity.
I can't wait for the first Oculus Rift film, but anyway.
I did an Oculus Rift roller coaster. Meh.
Oh, okay. I've never even put one on. All right, well.
Sorry, Six Flags.
Party people, enjoy your days, evenings, mornings, whenever you're listening to this. Let us know. 1970s, 1990s.
Or if you have a different decade.
Yeah.
If you like the 80s.
Yeah, let us know which one you think you like better. And then shout out your favorite decade if you don't think that neither of them are the best. I do think one of them is the best.
Solid. 80s though.
80s is solid. Future, 80s, you got the Back to the Future films. You got Indiana Jones. You got the Breakfast Club. Yeah, Ghostbusters.
Two
Star Wars movies. Yeah. Oh, so good.
I had a Star Wars movie in my decade I did not claim.
Oh yeah, I was gonna ask about the Phantom Menace.
I give that to the 2000s.
All right, man. Well, we're peacing out. So as we say, hold on
to
your
butts and join us on r/movies. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Brave Little Podcast. Hold on to your butts.